please, at this moment, we would have lightning talks, and that's how the format is going to be. We would have the speakers all present their lightning talks. After, I would ask questions. Yeah, thank you. And so, for the first speaker, we would welcome Victor Ademoye. Sorry if I pronounce it wrong. Yeah.
Hello, everyone. My name is Victor Ademoye, and I'm from Nigeria. I'm currently the Youth Mapper Regional Ambassador for Global Technical Support Team. And part of my last work with Youth Mappers during my tenure is to kind of like develop something for the Youth Mappers chapters, like globally. And at this point, starting off with integrating this particular applications with chapters in Africa. So campus guide, enhancing campus navigation through accurate and updated OSM maps. Okay, so at some point, I just wonder why lots of universities across Africa are not perfectly mapped on OSM. And yeah, some of them has like some buildings, but their respective descriptions about the buildings that are not there. So we have all of those data gaps. And I feel like this is not making navigation apps that uses OSM make sense, because some of these OSM navigation apps kind of like uses different APIs to like search the name of buildings, the name of like the address, and using some kind of like OSM tags to search as well. So in order to bridge that gap, I actually thought of this campus guide. So basically, the first thing is to update the campus map on OSM, make it updated, and also easy navigation around campus. So this is focused on universities. It's focused on campuses. And you can look at this sample. This is university in the first university is Bell's University in Nigeria, and the other one is Federal University of Technology, Accra. And you can actually see the difference between the OSM map. One is detailed and one is not. And in order to be able to make navigation easy, we need to very much populate the OSM database with detailed information, with detailed features, and respective OSM tags that people can really use to search using the navigation app. This is another sample of particular university. You can see how empty the one on the side is, and you can see how more detailed this is as well. So this is also in Nigeria, so, and respective chapters are already putting their self to work to mapping their universities well detailed. And you can see some respective features, POI, with the right tags as well. So the workflow is basically training and mapping campus in detail. That is like the main work, basically, to be able to train this Youth Mappers members or university students on how they can contribute to OSM, on how they can use the right OSM tags to tag different features that they can see within their university. Another one is to have a platform where they get to upload their campus boundary for validation. So in order for them to have their boundary and their campus well updated and to be able to validate it, they need to like upload it to a particular platform and people can cross-check as well. So, and also, that once the validation is done, the that particular place can be used as the particular university can be used for navigation, the OSM data. So this is currently in development, and with me and some couple of Youth Mappers developers, we have actually built this to like 60%, and the information about the project can be accessed here. We have current contributors. Lanwaju Michael is a UI UX designer to ensure that the application is well user-friendly, and Jolaya Emmanuel for mobile developer. So we're also building a mobile app to this particular course. The demo site can be accessed through this barcode. You can easily just scan it and see what we've built so far. And these are the links to the GitHub as well. So this is open to anybody. So anyone that wants to volunteer to this particular project is still on. But majorly, this responsibility goes to youth mappers chapters across the world to be able to contribute to different university campus maps. So a series of trainings will be organized by me and some couple of advanced mappers in the community. And I'm looking forward to making this a reality and make it work for university students. Thank you.
Thank you, Victor. Our next speaker will be our own Geoffrey.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. So my name is Geoffrey, and I do work with the Humanitarian OpenStreetMap team. So I'm going to be talking about MapSwipe, now on mobile or web. So yeah, MapSwipe really started in 2016 as a missing maps mobile phone app for mappers to swipe large rural areas before those areas are put into the tasking manager. For those of you who have mapped with the tasking manager, you know it's you can take like a lot of time trying to find where your features you want to map, whether it's buildings or roads. So with MapSwipe, you try to help mappers find those objects better. When they do the swiping on their mobile phone, then it's easier for the project to come out, and it basically looks like this. So you have what you see on the right, you have like only tasks, where those features are, and this is the output that you get from MapSwipe, so it makes the mapping process really quicker. So MapSwipe has grown over time. It was started as a project between a Missing Maps project, but over time it has become its own thing. So very many kind of innovations are coming on top of what was created in the first. So in 2023, HOT contributed some funding for research of MapSwipe version for the web, which was done with the HiGit. So that we have something that is for the web. So why a web version? It really offers a point of entry for people who can't or don't wish to download a mobile app on their device. They just want to start swiping very quickly, but also to engage with volunteers to add impactful data that is validated by multiple people and not inserted directly into OSM. With less burden of cleaning up the map and also quickening humanitarian response. So it was also to take advantage in an optimized way of the potential massive contribution of large communities. So basically the same opportunities that come with a mobile app version, but now we are having these also for the web. So yeah, MapSwipe for web really offers the same projects as you would access on the Android or iOS version, but now you can access them using an online account on your browser. And basically this is how it looks like. It's having like a responsive view to make better use of the landscape screens, an interactive map of the current task location. You can select and classify multiple tasks at the same time. So basically what you had previously on the mobile phone, you have like only the six tiles on the left. But now with the mobile version, someone can access like multiple tiles that they can verify at the same time. Yeah, so it's kind of responsive to make better use of the landscape screens. Also, it has an interactive map view of the current task location, so you can have like a big overview, and also you can select and classify multiple tasks at the same time. As you can see in this GIF, someone can, you know, select several tasks at once and classify. If, for example, the cloud cover and the imager is not good, someone can easily do that. And then it's also like some additional features that are kind of in experimental stage. For example, using switch view, imager classification to do feature digitization. So that's kind of something also that is being incorporated. So what's the future of MapSwipe? Want to have like implement hands-on MapSwipe tutorials within the version, and also make the projects more customizable. Want to integrate AI at different steps into the crowd mapping process, and also have different project types. For example, stating development, like for example, the street imagery classification, that's coming up in September, and also there's a planned release in January. I want to just do a call to action. If you have tried the mobile version, you can also try out the one that is on the web and also give us feedback. If you'd like to give us, if you have any questions about MapSwipe, you can reach out to my colleague Nicole, who is coordinating this on behalf of HOT, and I should be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Before our next presenter comes, please, if you have any questions and you don't want to forget, kindly write them down. At the end, we would ask, or you can put it in the question tab on the Venueless platform. Yeah, thank you. So our next presenter will be Umar Katongo, if I'm right. Sorry if I pronounced it wrong.
Hello, everyone. My name is Umar Katongole from Uganda, from Makerere University. I'd like to share something small about GeoHeath with Mappers, a chapter in Uganda, Heath Mappers chapter. I'm going to share its contributions as well as the program. So GeoHeath with Mappers, it's a program, GeoHeath with Mappers chapter affiliated at Makerere University. 2 years back, it was less than 30 members. Right now, we have a gross a membership of around 230 contributors with around 30 to 50 daily active members. With Youth Mappers, we are attached to OSM Uganda, and we do quite a number of activities. So here, I would like to share one of the recent projects that we had, the Spotlight Kampala projects, whereby we were doing mapping of electric poles, as well as getting to know the energy supply within the informal urban settlements in Kampala. That was all informal settlements within Kampala. It involved eliminating energy inequities in areas such as Katanga and all slum areas within Kampala. A team involved a multi-institutional project whereby we had a number of organizations into it, Community Aid Uganda. We had Arizona State University, as well as the GeoHeath Mappers who are doing the field mapping. We also worked on the WASH project, whereby we were mapping water points and hygienic points. This project looked at supporting marginalized refugee communities through mapping of the WASH facilities in the informal refugee settlements within Kampala. That was Chiseni and Katwe, and a lot of work was done there in line with the mapping. Also, we were invited at the National Science Week in Uganda, whereby our colleague wrote to the National Science Week on behalf of the Secretary of the Prime Minister, and were obliged to present projects concerning crop health mapping, as well as projects concerning air quality within Kampala, and getting to know how the diversity of open data, basically using OpenStreetMap data, has given contributions to the policymakers such as KCCA within Kampala and Uganda at large. As GeoHeath Mappers, we are obliged that we need more capacity building and also training our team members, whereby we introduced a regular weekly training webinars as well as programs. These ones we invite quite a number of professionals in mapping, and they teach our students the skills and new inventions in mapping. We also have quite a number of mapathons that we collaborate with OSM Uganda and other organizations to also train and also engage within the mapping community. When you look at the different, we also have different outreaches that we do for community outreaches. For example, we had the COSIS outreach whereby went to the community at COSIS and taught these people basic mapping skills, and also gave them basics materials that they can use in mapping, taught them how to use their phones in mapping, and also empowered these people so that they could create data and add data to OpenStreetMap, and we showed them the useful importance and the different advantages that you can have with the mapping. We also looked at a number of celebrations, for example, with the Spatial Mappers, and also recognizing the Girl Child, since Girl Child is really kind of still not there within the mapping society. And in a nutshell, we have quite a number of programs that I urge if any member that is here who is willing to work with the GeoYouth Mappers in order to improve more capacity building, looking at upskilling, different workshops, community outreach programs, partnerships and co-project work, and also mappathons you can link up so that we can grow a bigger society. So thank you so much. This is the GeoYouth Mappers.
Thank you, Matt. Our next presenter would be Remiju.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm here to present this topic, the using of open aerial map and open street map data for machine learning. A quick disclaimer, this is part of a research project of a larger team. And I'm in this team as the data collector, so to speak. So my contribution is the OpenStreetMap and open aerial map data, and not the machine learning, which I know very little about. So basically, we are. I'll just jump to. So this is the team that I was mentioning. I'm part of the Royal Danish Academy, but I'm in Denmark. But I'm also a co-founder of Mapeando Mobairo, which is an OSM community in Mozambique. So we are basically studying housing in informal settlements to provide this to machine learning algorithms, which then can be used for many purposes. This team specifically is using it for researching mosquito-borne diseases in informal settlements, or like making maps of the risk levels of mosquito borne diseases, so which areas are more or less prone to malaria, dengue, and other such diseases that are transmitted by mosquitoes. And so we are our part is to provide the data to this research project. As we know, different housing conditions are associated to different health hazards. So you might have a thatched roof that might house more mosquitoes in the actual roof itself, but it's also less temperature. So there are a lot of health factors associated to the buildings themselves. So that's what we are currently contributing. Not only the material, also the shape of the roofs. So they are often associated to the socioeconomic conditions of the families that are living. So if you have a very complex roof or a very simple roof, this can be then associated to the different risk levels that the family that lives in these houses encounter. So the project is basically trying to segment the roof polygon, but also the roof material, so that you, once you know the roof material, you can start to make assessments about the risk of mosquito-borne diseases or any other health associated hazards. So specifically, that's like the general scope. We mapped in Nacala as a city in the northern part of Mozambique. We collected data for four areas, so that's both drone imagery, and then we labeled that we labeled this drone image both remotely and also in the field. So here we have a part of the team collecting the data in the field, the drone part, and also the actual field campaign to map the roof materials of these four areas. This is a typical environment you might find in this city of Nacala. It's quite sparsely occupied, so it actually helps the machine learning algorithm because the houses are a bit separated. So what we then do, we upload it to Open Aerial Map so that it becomes of course, open data. You're probably familiar with that. As you know, there are increasingly a lot of machine learning algorithms that are segmenting buildings. I was just downstairs in the Tsavo Hall, and there was a very similar presentation to this one from the FAIR app that's trying to also develop increasingly more accurate segmenting features. So what this study is specific among these various attempts. This one is specific to for the health risk. As we know, there are a lot of maps of risk, but they are very like at a province level or a ward level. So we want to reduce or give more detail and so to each individual building, so that we know risk levels from one building to the next, or from one group of houses to the next group of houses. So as I said before, the algorithm is not only segmenting the building itself, it's also trying to find the attributes in terms of which roof material it is, including, for instance, if a building has no roof, it's just under construction, it will the algorithm will also try to segment that. I can see the 5 minutes are up, but so this is more the technical part. As I said, it's not really my specialty, but just to say that so we provided this this data, and then the different models are experimenting, like the different machine learning models are experimenting with this data to see which ones are more accurate and more effective in detecting both the polygon and the roof material. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Remju. Our next speaker will be Antidios.
Hello, everyone. My name is Antidios. I am from GIS. And I don't have the PowerPoint, so you have the background of my organization, so at least you support what I'm going to be saying today. I know I have some 5 minutes for the sake of time, and in such conferences and in such clouds, I feel that there is something very important that is always left being unsaid, and if it is being said, it is being discussed among individuals, not at the large stage like this. So first of all, I'm honored to be presenting among my fellow presenters. They have done a great presentation, and I will be doing mine. So what I'm about to present to you is about the essentials of becoming an innovator in entrepreneurship and an entrepreneur in the geospatial spectrum. Whenever we think of being an innovator or being an entrepreneur, we always think that it is a different aspect from being from the OSM or from the OpenStreetMap, or even from the geospatial aspect. We have some very few and even some many innovations in the OpenStreetMap community, but some do feel that they are born not being innovative, and as they grow up, they lose that sense when they grow up, and they think that being an innovator, it is something that like to have a dark skin or like to have a light skin, and they think that it is something that they cannot do about it. But at Root GIS, we do believe that everybody or anyone is born being an innovator, and anyone can innovate. So what will make you an innovator and what will make you stand out? I don't have some point of action that you have to do A, B, C, and D, but there are some aspects that you might need to take into account as we are in the digital economy, in the digital spectrum. there is one saying that we are living in a global systems of systems. So everything is being interconnected and everything is connected into each other. So if I would ask you, maybe one of us who has an online platform or maybe an online profile showing their skills on what they are doing, I would definitely see some few hands. But if I would tell you that who is contributing data every day, I might see all the hands going up. The data is growing, and every day we are contributing data. But the data that you contributed today, today we have a new data. So how do we encompass innovation into the OpenStreetMap? We have been producing data, and we will be producing data. But my point of action is that we should leverage this data. We should be producing, creating value in the data that we produce every day. We have seen Uber, we have seen Airbnb, we have seen Literide. All of those applications have been leveraging on the open source that we produce, on the open data. And if I would ask any of us who is having any application or any source, maybe a platform that is leveraging OpenStreetMap data to create a value on the data that we contribute every day, I would definitely see some few hands. So I wanted to have emphasis on that, that in what we do, we have to think being in an innovative way to produce innovations that are leveraging geospatial or that are leveraging on the open map and the open street map data that we produce every day. I know time is up, but we know that the data is the new soil, and then we need to cultivate on that, produce solutions, produce platforms, produce mobile applications, whatever solution that we have that are leveraging on the open data that we contribute. I am not saying that we don't need to stop contributing data, but as we contribute data, we have to think on the other part that is going to be creating value on the data that we are producing every day. Thank you. My name is Antidius Kama.
Thank you, Antidius. Speaker would be me. Yeah. Thank you, everyone. So, great. My presentation will be about a survey I conducted whilst I was an intern at HOTS way back in 2003. It was about the perspectives of women in OpenStreetMap. So you might ask why this topic. At the end of my internship, I was supposed to leave a project, and I kept wondering what I could leave. But then I realized in the space I am, it's male dominated. I mean, there are more guys than women. And I am a youth mapper way back on campus. And when we complete tertiary, we the women or the girls that were part, we find most of them, stop mapping or they stop engaging in all these activities. So I wondered, okay, what could be preventing them from doing, not doing or not engaging in such activities? So this research or this survey was out of my curiosity. I wanted to know why, why wouldn't you continue? Because you are already doing it. Why would you stop after school? So I conducted the survey, and I didn't only collect perspectives of women. I included the men because I also wanted to know what the men also think, why some women don't participate in these activities. And yeah, from the graph you see, I had a lot of women responding equal to men. Like, yeah. And to my surprise, I didn't think I would have a lot of men responding to the survey, but yeah, I got and I had a 41%, so I was shocked because I'm like, it's geared towards women, but now I want to know how the men also think. So thank, if you had the opportunity to fill in the questionnaires, and thank you. So at the end of the survey, this is just a summary. At the end of the survey, I mean, during the survey, I think I had a lot of questions as to why I am doing this, why I'm doing that, why won't I leave the women do their own thing? Do I have to bring women in everything? Like, it brought a different perspective into the survey I wanted to, because I it's just out of a sheer, like, being curious about why my fellow people not in the sense of, okay, women are not here, so they should be here, like, whether they like it or not. So it gave me the sense of, then I think some, in quotes, men think have a problem with when we say women should have spaces in certain areas, yeah, they do have, because some of the comments I received were so disheartening. And to be frank, if I had to take that to heart, I don't think I would be here by now. Yeah. And thanks to the mentors I had, that's why it's very necessary to have mentors. So someone like Talayson and Annalie encouraged me that no matter how it is, I should continue, because it was how the questions and comments were coming. I didn't know how to handle it, because the tonation was not quite friendly. I just wanted to know, I mean, we are in the space, I'm doing something good, we all do it, why did you stop? And from the research I got, I saw that some women, mostly is because of when they go out, you know, to interpret like the traditional role of women. So it prevents them from adding other tasks. In as much as others can add other tasks to their home chores and other things, yeah, others can. So sometimes that prevents them. And some of them too were based in areas where they didn't have easily access to internet and all that. So, and these technical tools like the laptops and also, they decide that after school, I don't have anything to do with it, so I'll just sit by my somewhere and do whatever I want. And also, some categories stated that they left or they stopped doing because of some comment of, I mean, their male counterparts, of which, yeah, I think it's disheartening for one to make a comment about someone doing something and then they stop it. Yeah, so in it all, I deduced that with this three perspective, that in as much as we are all doing something, like we encourage everyone in each other's space, one, we recognize that underrepresentation in women in OpenStreetMap is very crucial, and understanding the issues faced by these underrepresented groups. Like, one thing to change is accepting that there is an issue. If you are willing to change, then you should accept that there is something that you have to change. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any change. Because, okay, this is a problem. And the fact that it will be a problem to me and not a problem to you doesn't mean that it's not a problem. We should have a fair idea. Like, we should be generous or kind enough to accept each and everyone's perspective or ideas, you know, on whatever it is. So if I decide to bring to you that this is a problem to me, help me solve, and you don't find a problem, at least either you keep quiet or you channel me to the right source who you think would help, or you don't comment at all, because sometimes you might not know what I'm going through. There is an adage in my local language that says, I don't know if I can do the direct translation, but it's in English, it'd be like, the one sitting by the fire knows how much it burns. So you standing at the end, if I'm telling that it's burning me and you are standing at the fire and you tell me, oh, what is this flame? Then we don't feel the same heat from the fire. So you can't tell me I'm not burning. Yeah. And the second one is we should be mindful of our own gender biases. Sometimes we make certain sensitive comments. And I think sometimes even, I think it comes out as how we are brought up. Even some of our own females, sometimes we end up making certain comments that unconsciously, we don't know what we said, but if we consciously, when we are communicating, and we consciously make effort that we will try and not say something that will hurt the other, I think these kind of things can also be prevented. And OSM communities across the world can also empower women by providing support and recognition. Yes, you might say, why should we always recognize women? No, we want to bring the women in the light. And when we say participation, it doesn't only mean that they are mapping or they are they are doing other events. You see, when we come to OSM space, there is organization, there is mapping and all that. So the fact that they are involved in one way or the other, at least give them the recognition. Because if they have that recognition, they can also feel proud of themselves that at least what I'm doing, I'm being recognized and I'll keep on doing it. Because the more you give someone a positive feedback, the more they keep improving on themselves and wanting to do more. Yeah. So from the list of things I needed to know, as I stated earlier, these are some of them. From the women's perspective, some said they didn't have enough time. Others said they had little knowledge about OSM. Others were complaining about underrepresentation, and others, their career didn't allow them to combine it, and low communication. And from the response I got from the men, some men were like, okay, probably it's just lack of interest. And I was happy that I got men who clearly stated or emphatically stated that the negative behaviors of men sometimes put the women away off from engaging in these activities. And I was so surprised because I expected much of it to come from the women, but getting the men to clearly state that it meant that there is something that we need to address: our communication, our tone, how we relate with each other. Yeah. And others also said the gender roles. So I would end this by quoting from the program director of She Maps, Stella. She says, we should recognize the need to address gender disparity in OSM and create a deliberate move to address those issues. Thank you. Please, if you want to read more about the full report, please you can scan this QR code and read about the full report. Thank you very much. So please, at this point, it's question and answers. So, so please, it's break time. So we just take one question on the wellness platform, and we would all move. Sorry, it's break time, like for coffee break. Then we all move to the center for our coffee. And please, if you have any other questions, kindly you can talk to any of our speakers here in person. Thank you. So one question would be for Geoffrey. It says, how can data in MapSwipe be integrated in OpenStreetMap or other mapping platforms? Thank you.
Okay, so the data from MapSwipe is open data. If you go to the MapSwipe website, you'll be able to download the data that has been generated from MapSwipe. But it's just there to assist in the workflow for mapping, but also now it's now being used for verifying things. So like, for example, data quality assurance. You can swipe to say this task was already well mapped, this was not well mapped. So it's also being used to improve data quality. So, but most important things, the data is open. If you go to the MapSwipe website, you can download it and then you can use it to, for example, create a task manager project for any area that you're interested in. So yeah, go to MapSwipe and check it out. Download the data and look at it. Thank you.
So thank you, everyone. Please, we can go out and have our break.